Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. I'm David Meltzer, and we are blessed to have a crook of good kind. Very rare that you say that, but this is one of my favorite crooks in the world. James Crook, founder and president at Blink Games. Welcome to the Playbook.
Thank you so much, David. It's an honor to be here, man. And to kind of back up your statement here, I love your book right in the background. I just read that to business with Dix. That's great. No,
it's cost me millions of dollars to figure this book out, by the way, surrounding myself with the right people and the right ideas. And that's what you're doing in a growing field. You've created a universal platform for organizing any game, anywhere, anytime. And you know my models to make a lot of money, to help a lot of people and have a lot of fun. And the way that we have fun is to gamify things. And there's so many different ways that we can play any game, but we can't play any game anywhere, anytime. And you created, you know, this great universal platform for people to enjoy the money they make and the people they help to play games with the right people, the right ideas. What inspired you to be so resilient to build this platform so people could organize the games anywhere, anytime?
Well, you know, so thank you. Really broke it down. I always loved playing sports. I always loved playing games. And from my whole, you know, from the time I was 3 or 4 years old, I was playing sports. And sports teaches you a lot about resilience, right? You know, you win, you lose, you know, how can you improve your teammates, et cetera. And quite frankly, I actually wasn't that resilient as a kid. I was very fortunate to grow up in Santa Barbara. I had a lot of things that I was blessed to be given through my family that I didn't earn. I just happened to be born in the right situation. So I had to really learn how to be resilient as I got older. And one of those things was actually, I played quarterback in high school at San Marcos, and we went 3-7 my junior and senior years. And I learned a lot about leadership and resilience then, because it's easy to lead people when you're winning. It's easy when you're making money, you're scoring touchdowns, all that. When you're losing, you're throwing interceptions, your team's not doing what they need to do to get the victory, that's when you figure out what kind of leader you are and who will follow you into battle. And so that was a big part of it. And then having a kid.
Well, I got to interrupt you, James. You don't know this about me, but when I played college football, my best friend, my roommate, was the kicker from San Marcos High School.
Really?
Mark Collinsworth, big shout out to you, famous lawyer now. Still one of my best friends, but a great guy. I think his record may have been worse than yours, though, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? I mean, we weren't a powerhouse, right? We had one quarterback go to the NFL, Bradley Van Pelt, 15, 20 years. But yeah, you kind of learned a lot. And I had to, you know, it was a real struggle. It was really tough. I was always good at sports and, you know, I'd won or lost, but I'd never been like that Friday Night Lights in front of a lot of people. And so that was really tough. And then having a kid, you know, to be totally frank with you, at 25, I had my son Lincoln, who I named the app after. And that really taught me a lot. It wasn't necessarily an ideal relationship, but that's okay. You know, we're great co-parents now, but I learned a lot. I mean, I was driving up and down the coast every week from Bay Area, where I live here in Sonoma County, to Santa Barbara just to get this thing started. I would stay Monday through Thursday in Santa Barbara, talk to investors, drive Uber, sleep on my dad's floor in a sleeping bag. And then I would drive back up Thursday night to the Bay Area and take care of my son all weekend so my ex could work. So, you know, when you kind of start doing that stuff, like I just stripped everything else away and said, hey, what do I want to do? And I wanted to make Blink succeed. I want to be the best father I could possibly be. And so those are my two singular goals for the rest of my life, really.
And those are great goals. Now, you did enjoy playing, competing, but I think what's changed in your life is the idea that motivates, inspires, and is the mission of mine, which is to create community around sport as a backdrop of sport. Today, community means everything. At what time and for what and for the sake of what are you creating community around sport?
Well, I think, you know, the most important thing to me that any human can experience is connection. I think our connection with our families, our friends, our loved ones, even a random person you have a conversation with one time, you never know where that connection can come from. But that connection and community, it is the number one reason why people live the longest. That they've done long-term studies about why do people live longer. It's not smoking. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's literally.
That's what the Blue Zones have, the best community.
Yeah. 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 It's the, yes. And it's just friends. And what's great about games is, like, I play in softball leagues. I play in pickup basketball. It's like, you know, whether we hang out a lot or not afterwards, most of my best friends have come from sports, but most are just, I would just see there. But when I see them there, we're all brothers, right? Right. We're all having a great time. And especially in the modern day, we have so much technology that really keeps us divided. You know, we're locked in on the screens. We're at our home. We can do whatever we want alone. And that's both really nice, ease of access. That's great if I want to be an introvert sometimes, which I totally am. But you're missing out on so much of what life is. And that's the joy of being around people. And sports and games uniquely connect people. The competition, the fact that you're either, whether you're with a team or individual, that's something that's different. Like music and food, that can be shared, something that can be enjoyed. But when you're competing out there on the field, or you're playing a board game, or you're playing online with some video game, that's a different kind of connection, a different kind of community. And I think it's just, I think it's the greatest problem of our age, especially as we go into AI and more technology. How do we connect? How do we create your community? And people aren't really taught to do that anymore, especially after COVID. Like kids, it's a very different environment in society growing up than it was for me, and certainly for you growing up with the way technology has advanced. And so that's why I think it's so vital to just create this platform.
And you were a star of Go Fund Yourself, the number one show on Cheddar. As a Titan, I was certainly excited and inspired that we're giving people an opportunity to invest in this. For all those people that may be interested in participating, joining, or investing, how does this all work? How and what do we do to play games with one another?
So it's really straightforward, to help people find and organize games. It's an obvious idea. I don't want to say it's a brilliant idea. It's just very straightforward, right? It's just like, yeah, duh. But how do you make it happen, right? And the key that we found was the organizers. You know, we have some great partnerships that we've worked with. We have awesome partnerships on deck. That's important. Venues. They're kind of like the bones of it, where you're going to be hosting those things. That's an important piece of the ecosystem. But the number one thing is you got to have someone there that's going to actually create the brackets, that's going to hire the refs, that's going to make sure the equipment's is all working, they have enough balls, whatever it is. So the organizers, those are the people, the master games, as we call them. That's really the key. I think that's why it's a very obvious idea, and yet it hasn't ever been done. There is no Uber or YouTube or Google for games. Why? And I think that is the key reason. So for us, how it works is an organizer can just go onto our app. They can create a tournament for whatever kind of game, basketball, softball, chess, blah, blah, blah. They can set, if they want to take payments, they can do that. They can set an organizer fee, a pop fee that everyone can win. They want to make it free, totally fine. You can just record the results. You can make brackets, etc. Then you can share it out to people. And it's like, Yelp, you can have like a little icon, or you can have a list view. Your tournament will show up there, stuff like that. So like the idea around that is, okay, as we build out, you know, we have partnerships that are ready to go in a lot of different fields. We're going to be working with professional sports leagues. I know you obviously have a lot of experience with that. That's all really important to really scale this thing quickly. But you've got to put in the foundational brick by brick process of who's going to actually be on the ground organizing these games. Because about 99% of people just want to show up and play pickup. Very, very, very few people want to actually take the time to do that. And so our app is geared to obviously making their experience as easy as possible, answering their needs that they've told us, and then simultaneously making it super easy for the players just to sign up, pay for it if it's necessary, register for the game and event, show up and play. And then you can start layering in everything else. So you got the organizers, you got the players, then you layer in the venues, the big time partnerships. You start taking over the different ecosystems. You start dominating board games, niche sports, dodgeball, wiffle ball, pickleball. And then you almost like you kind of grow naturally, almost in a grassroots way. And then you lead it with the big partnerships from the top. So that's kind of our strategy and our process.
I think there's a logical order to building a two-sided marketplace that's most difficult and challenging when I'm making investments. And what I liked about this investment was that there's so many people that are willing to organize what they want to do. So, you know, I like chess and I'm passionate about chess. Well, I now can organize and then invite everybody in my network, and those people that join, encourage them to get their friends to join and their friends to join, which will accelerate, aggregate, and compound the community exponentially. And I like the lineage of let's get the organizers, then the players, then the venues, then the sponsors. It makes a lot of sense and it's realistic. A lot of people fall down because they want to build a two-sided marketplace, but there's no incentive for either of the sides of the marketplace to grow, where this has a natural interest to it with the backdrop of people's passion, purpose, or even profitability could be one of the motivating factors. When we're talking about the investment side of this great opportunity, we allow non-accredited and accredited investors to take a look and to support this. And I can see why people that may be interested in organizing, why they'd want to own part of the company as well, because they can handle and hold their own destiny in their own hands. What does the investment look like today for Blink?
So right now, we've still just been doing private, you know, accredited investors, just because it's a lot easier to move quickly. And I have some great investors already. We're talking, obviously, with you and other people that are involved in the networks that that I have. And so we're raising $1.5 million. And then what the goal is with that capital is to really get the organizers, get that whole thing going. And to your point about ownership, so we have something called the Royalty Network. And that was something that I worked out with Frosty Rucker. So he's an ex-NFL player, played in the NFL for 13 years. Incredible guy. And we wanted to figure out, like, how do we get, okay, we want pro athletes, you want a big streamer, you want a Mr. Beast, you want a celebrity, whatever, or even just regular organizers on the ground. How do they get paid? How do we make them partners long term? So I created a royalty network where anyone that a player, a venue, a partnership brings in, you're going to be paid the same. You're going to get paid up to 5% for the next 15 years on that, on everything that comes over the platform. So if you send it to your friend and they start playing in softball leagues or playing in bowling nights or pickup basketball, whatever it is, every time they make a payment, you're going to get the, you're going to get a 5% fee. Just like I get, just like Blink gets 5%. That's how our business model is. We charge 5%. So basically we're equal partners. We make money, you make money. And the reason why I wanted to do that is I wanted to basically, I wanted to really incentivize people to have a long-term partnership, create that moat, right? Because if we get the organizers and the venues, well, we're already paying. We're paying you every single transaction on a quarterly basis, you know, like your royalty earnings report. That's what we call it. And then that's something that was really important to me because, you know, you kind of led this whole off, you led this whole thing off about how can we make a lot of money, but also help make a lot of money for a lot of people and have the biggest impact. And that's my main goal. I didn't, you know, I obviously, I want to make billions and da-da-da and all the things. Yeah, sure. But I want to make sure that everyone that we, that gets involved with this is winning, whether that's it with actual money, if it's just playing games. And then I want to turn that kind of influence, again, with the capital and the people that are involved, into how can we affect local communities. And so the Royalty Network was a really cool way to create a long-term partnership where our incentives are aligned, where more people, the more people you bring in and the more games, tournaments, leagues, et cetera, that they're a part of, you're going to get paid on all of that. Right. So now you want to be running more games. You want to get more people doing these kind of things. You want to lend your name to Blink. And then we're the ones backing up the entire thing with an amazing platform that makes it easy, but also with customer support that would be world class, taking care of your people. It's not like it's a job for you to make sure that everything is working right for them. That's our job. Just bring us to the, bring them to the platform and we'll handle the rest.
So smart in such a great expression of abundance and making a lot of money, helping a lot of people and having a lot of fun. One of the things I've learned about entrepreneurs like you that have created not only a great idea, but a great business model that you can connect the dots backwards. You can see from the ultimate community and the monetization of that community, you can actually connect the dots backwards, which a lot of the deals that I get, and you know, I probably have more deals than most people because of all the TV shows, podcasts, all the different content that I create. And those are mostly around deal flow and entrepreneurship. But one of the characteristics that are often overlooked in these situations is patience. You're young, you're competitive, you're positive. And when I was similar age to you, my biggest challenge was I could clearly see the path and connect the dots backwards, but a lot of times I got too impatient. I didn't allow, it to evolve because there is a lineage to this. How, in what relationship do you have with patience? Because this is a really big opportunity and a big idea, but things happen very slowly. Then all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be a 10-year overnight success. I actually first formed the company technically in 2017, about 2.5 months before my son was born. I've been doing this. I'm a first time founder. And simultaneously, like, I don't really want to go into other things. And it's not about just accepting failure or not like, or not being willing to accept failure. It's like, no, this thing is so important and it's so critical to me that there's no other opportunity that I want to pursue more. And so for 8 years now, I've been doing this as much as I can, trying to just push the blocks along. Like, I wasn't an entrepreneur. I'm a university life guy. I didn't go to college. I'm not a tech guy. Just had to literally create a pitch deck and just, you know, and drive and talk to people and just hustle. And when you live like a mouse, you learn to eat like a mouse, right? So, like, you know, we've created, you know, almost 10,000 users. We've had some incredible partnerships. We were in 80 colleges, you know, like all that stuff to your point. It's a lot of failure. It's one thing that I feel like with people about patience. I was extremely impatient. I you know, you want to have that like natural impatience, and it's good in moments to be like, no, let me just get this done and handle it. But if you're talking about long-term things, and I think also being a father has helped me tremendously with this. My son is not going to be a 21-year-old tomorrow. Thank God. You know, you got to go every day block by block with him and to maybe send him to a better man than even I am. And I think with Blink, I've been able to do that. No matter how many no's I've gotten, no matter how many things haven't worked, no matter the bugs or this or that, whatever. Honestly, it's I think it makes all of it a lot more beautiful. The journey is, like, I've really learned to love the journey. And even though I'm nowhere near where I want to be and end up, I'm very satisfied with the fact that I've been able to create so many relationships that I love myself and my character. I really do. Like, I'm proud of who the man I've become. You know, I wasn't always necessarily true. And it's okay to be, you know, to be patient for something like this. Again, it's not like it's out there. It'd be one thing if there was an Uber that I was trying to go against and say, oh, that's my main competitor. It's not, you know, then you got to be a little more realistic. Like, this opportunity in my life can be dedicated to this opportunity. So making sure I take care of my family is always the baseline. But after that, I'm very willing to wait and work and move however we need to move. You know, some things move in a week, some things move in a month, some things takes 10 years, 20 years. So I'm here for the long haul.
He is definitely here for the long haul, stealing success. James Crook, with a divine direction, with the ability to desire and what he deserves, and what he's doing is making a lot of money, helping a lot of people. Check out the Universal Platform for any game, anywhere, anytime. This platform will help you organize your community to be a part of a bigger community. You can monetize it. It's a profit center for everybody involved. It's the type of business that I love to be involved with. James Crook, founder and president at Blink Games, thank you so much for joining us. I look forward to your continued success.
Thank you, David. I really appreciate it, my friend.
Great job. This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, The Playbook.